Welcome, everybody, to another stunning edition of the Nerd Watch Podcast.
Some might say the same one.
I am, of course, MG Money. We are joined by a gaggle of geeks today that know no bounds. But yet, we're going to do our best.
Being put
that's right.
What the hell are you implying?
We're going to try and stay within our bounds.
They're animals.
All right. You guys are animals.
Some more than others.
What do you have, Todd?
I have limits.
Oh, you do. Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Since when?
And you all know that.
Cocker Television Podcast audience, welcome to the Nerd Watch. We, of course, are joined by the one and only Alika. He's in the house. Format is in the house as well. The one and only Silent Sean is in the house. Big C is in the house as well.
What?
The one and only Bruce Hennessy. The one and only, the old sage, is in the house. I will say this, and I'll reiterate this again for the podcast that was not listenable.
You say unlistenable, I say gold.
Oh, gold, okay.
Should post it online for people to judge for themselves.
I will. I'll post it online. Of course,
it'll be our last episode.
Hennessy is, he's dual marking out here because he's got Batman and Superman.
Gotta represent DC right now.
Just to let you know, like I said last time, he is thinking Batman with his head and Superman with his heart. And that is.
But Marvel with my soul.
Marvel. Wow.
Oh,
good.
Marvel
just with your soul. The one and only, the very talented. And quite witty, if I say so myself.
You don't have to call me talented.
Okay.
It actually wasn't your turn in the
rotation. It wasn't your turn in the rotation.
You were talking about me because you said witty.
I did.
I know I'm witty
true.
And I know I'm talented. You don't have to keep saying it.
All right.
He was going to say about Todd first.
No, he wasn't.
I've
read his book.
I think I was going to get skipped.
That's more than most of us.
Am I the only
one who's not doing the side commentary right now?
No, that's fine, because it actually is part of the conversation.
It's relevant.
Relevant, yes, that's right. But Todd Bernardi, a very talented writer and artiste, comic book artist. He is the author of Disco Thunder Groovebone. He is the author of The Kukui Project. He is also the author of Aloha Machete Elvis. And, of course, Hard Candy Aftermath, which can all be picked up here at the very lovely Maui Comics and Collectibles.
True.
And, ladies and gentlemen.
True. Very true. Is true. Yes.
The extremely talented. Quite dashing. And
the often witty,
utterly delectable Ganon is in the
delectable.
Wow!
Listen, that's what I've heard.
Christopher Walken, could you please?
I'm not on the market anymore, sell me that hard.
Right,
I'll
try not to.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Wow. Ganon, delectable.
He's the best thing since cowbell.
That's good.
I'll take that.
We, of course, are a bunch of nerds that love to talk about all things comics, television, movies. So we got a lot to cover in very little time, so let's get right to it. First off, a big shout-out to Maui Comics and Collectibles. They are 333 Dairy Road in Kahului.
What do you mean again? It's the first time we ever recorded.
Oh, right.
Man. Every single Tuesday is 20% off Tuesdays, but more importantly, every single Wednesday. It is New Comic Book Full Price Wednesdays. And you can check it out here every Wednesday, all day long. There is just a plethora of comic books coming out every single week. And this week is no exception. So, Alika, or Kalika. What we like to call Kalika.
Tell us about the cornucopia of comics coming out.
There you go. That's perfect.
So, we've got the new DC. We've got Aquaman, Deathstroke, Superman, Flash, Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, they've all got Neil Adams variants. We've also got Dark Knight 3, Issue 3, mm-hmm. The Master Race,
mm-hmm.
G-Money.
That's the Batman racist comic.
Yeah, that's
when it's when we find out that it's not Bruce Wayne, it's Hitler.
Yeah,
okay.
He goes back in time.
Goes back in time, right? Starts a Nazi party.
For independent books, we've got Street Fighter, crossover with G.I. Joe #1.
And from what I understand, you guys telling me that is not the first time.
Well,
what are you talking about? We never had that conversation before.
Off the air.
There's an alternate universe where another episode occurred.
On Earth, too.
There may be. There's a slight possibility we had to slingshot around the sun and do this podcast again.
Wow.
There's a slight possibility that happened.
All right.
We've also got Spawn 261, the more Todd McFarlane. Yes, thank you, Todd. We've got Back to the Future, the finale, 505. Gannon seems to think it's going to become an ongoing after issue 505.
Well, according to the last issue of Previews magazine, which you sell in your own store, it said there's going to be an ongoing after.
Sure, use knowledge to contradict me.
Hey, I know the facts.
Screw the facts.
Right.
So what else?
Speaking of screwing the facts, Fight Club 2, number 9.
Okay.
Yeah. That guy likes to hallucinate and fight himself, yes.
You didn't mention Spawn.
I did. No,
Todd McFarlane. Todd McFarlane has done anything but Spawn since 91.
Yeah, but Spawn.
But Spawn.
But Spawn.
Yes.
That's the name of the podcast.
I was just going to say.
Whoa.
But Spawn. But Spawn.
Hang on.
Just be happy. It came from you.
I got censored.
But Spawn colon.
But Spawn is okay to say?
Butt Spawn colon screw you again.
I like Butt Spawn.
Forget the hashtag.
Yeah, hashtag.
I was thinking the same thing.
I have
thing,
a question,
hashtag
though,
Butt Spawn.
Which is kind of on the subject of Spawn. Hasn't Tom McFarlane walked away from Spawn for a while?
He arrived back, actually.
He always
wasn't
did.
That the case?
He never left that book.
Really?
Not really.
All right.
He left for about 10 issues this last year.
But he was more or less the intellectual prop.
He owns it. Yeah.
He was the guiding force. But
so no matter what,
he didn't do anything creative, artistically, or writing on it for like issue 250.
No, just the entire editorial.
So then my question is this: now that there's a lot of big talk about how he is trying to greenlight a Spawn movie,
an R-rated Spawn movie.
Okay, first of all, greenlighting the movie ain't up to him. All
right.
Plus, he's been talking about this movie.
No, he's trying to.
Plus, he's been talking about this movie since the first movie came out. And quite frankly, I think if he had any juice to get that movie made, it would have happened by now.
Yeah.
But now's the time.
It ain't going to happen. I don't see it happening. I mean, Deadpool might have given it a slight chance, but there's a difference between what Deadpool is as a movie and what Spawn is as a movie.
But it gives
a little bit of motivation to fund an R-rated superhero
movie. But again, Deadpool works because it's a lighter tone. It's more family, not family friendly, but
Spawn worked because of how dark it was. I mean, that's the tone of Spawn.
Is that the kind of movie that works today, though? Think about it.
Yeah, because the 90s was very
a dark
very
film,
dark
a dark, mm-hmm. a gothic dark film about a character who lives in an alley and lives with basically homeless people. And
I don't know,
devil.
Man. Look, you saw Man of Steel. I mean, like, tell me about
in
it.
In another life, we were just talking about how Batman was the reason for we loving Batman so much is because how dark he is and how he's like a human. Like
how we understand his motivations.
Correct. So can't
and you can
it's not because he's dark, it's because you relate to him.
Yeah. Hey, just because he's black doesn't mean he's dark.
Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
Technically, if that's the avenue you want to travel down, yes, it does.
Actually, I think that's the name of the podcast right there.
Just because he's black.
There goes Todd stealing all the.
Yeah, I didn't hear it because it was so racist.
No, I mean, but I think it's. I think that going back to our last podcast about how we need a little bit more diversity in comic books, Spawn was a black superhero in the 90s.
Anti-hero.
Black anti-hero.
Anti-hero. Very important.
Just because he killed bad people.
With chains on spikes, like the Hellraiser.
But and like so is Punisher and so is Daredevil and Punisher and
so
Daredevil.
So is Deadpool.
And
but that's the thing is,
mainstream
and
now.
Spawn is such a popular hero, and a lot of people forget he's black because he's mangled like Deadpool.
Well, speaking of diversity, they're talking about Deadpool having a boyfriend in Deadpool 2.
I believe
no
that.
One's talking about that, but fans though.
That's what
nobody on the filmmaking end of things
I
has
heard,
said that.
I heard that I was reading that
Ryan Reynolds joked about it, but I don't think it was serious about
saying that. Deadpool's sexuality is very fluid. That's
it's
the word they use.
He used the term pansexual.
Yeah. Yes, they're pansexual. Yes.
It's
going to be the pizza boy from the first movie.
I don't think.
I like how you referred to it in the past tense.
Yeah.
Like it's not the current
but,
one.
But I mean, he didn't want to step further to say that Cable could be the love interest and stuff like that. But I mean, come on. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that he's just saying that.
Just to be provocative.
Because it's something you could get away with Deadpool, but would they seriously do that?
Later on in that same article, they talk about how he's always been in love with death. And Death is an actual character in the comic book, and so...
We talked about that on the last podcast.
And how that's a door to the cosmic and Thanos eventually. Yeah.
Interesting. Anyway, but, what
so
else?
So, continue to lighten the tone.
Lighten the tone.
We've also got Gem in the Holograms.
To get it out of this
new
blackness.
Yeah! Coming out for you format.
Hashtag.
That's the name of the podcast, Out of the Blackness.
Out of the Blackness. That is good!
Rick and Morty, the new issue, which is...
I just see the podcast name just constantly.
I'm just trying to get one in, man.
I love that.
You've had a few names in
Nerd Watch Out of the Black.
You've stolen them directly from me.
All of Gannon's ones were Gannon's before Todd came along.
That's true.
Gannon used to close out every podcast.
That's right.
And then Todd showed up.
Alika introduces us to Todd. And
biggest
Todd...
mistake of my life.
Oh my god.
Is there anything left on the list where we get too carried away?
Well, this one Todd might be interested in. Saga 34. Maybe. I don't know if you like Saga.
Boo.
I'll everybody else in the universe.
Is it Saga
XOXO?
I just tried to enjoy Saga. And...
Not yet.
I couldn't quite get into it.
I don't know, man. I don't know about you, GC.
That's okay. A lot of people don't know about me.
All right.
And so to round it off, we've got Marvel. We've got all new Inhumans, all new X-Men, and all new, all different Avengers. And the first issue of Worst X-Men Ever.
I want that.
All right.
The Worst X-Men Ever.
On another podcast.
It sounds...
I don't know if it's an X-Men we know. I think
because
it's
he's in every X-Men team anyway.
So then...
Yeah, right.
So
he'll be there.
What, can we all agree who would be the worst X-Men in your mind? Anyone?
I mean, on a previous life, we discussed that
Guido.
It was the 1990s new lineup of X-Factor from issue 71. Guido, strong guy, and like
the
you know, Mont Farrell. I don't think she was a great X-person.
Could I challenge that? Could I say that Deadpool could be the worst X-Men ever?
In a different way. I mean,
you understand what I mean?
Yeah, he is really the worst. Yeah.
He's the worst, but he's also the best
because
he's the worst.
Yeah, he's the
because
best
he
to watch.
Breaks the fourth wall.
It's like a lot of Barry's reviews.
But if you're talking about crappy X-Men. Oh, wait. Does Squirrel Girl count? Because her first appearance...
She was bad.
She was in an... Her first appearance is in an X-Men comic,
yeah,
so she's probably terrible.
Squirrel Girl's a mutant?
Yeah.
She's a mutant.
I had no idea. I thought she was...
She has squirrel-like
powers. I
thought
she was a rescue ranger.
Wait. What about Silver Surfer?
What's her mutant power?
She had to have buck teeth?
Something to do with
she's really good at hiding nuts?
No.
That's what it seems like. Because when I think of a squirrel, I mean, they know how to hide nuts,
squirrel-like powers.
But, I mean, honestly, aren't all squirrel girls good at hiding nuts in their mouth?
How many squirrel girls do you think there are in the world?
Where are they?
There's only one character
only one?
I could think of.
Only one license.
Oh,
so,
good.
Also, Gidget.
Is Silver Surfer technically a part of the X-Men universe?
Not at all.
He's a galactic character, dude. He's not a mutant. Who said this?
I'm
just asking. Fox thinks he's a mutant.
Clearly a DC fan.
Wow.
Well,
wow.
Hashtag,
on that
hashtag,
note.
Hashtag wow.
Hashtag uneducated.
Wow. Well, that would be an interesting... That's coming out tomorrow, right?
Yeah, worst X-Men
Is that going in anyone's hold box?
I might have to pick that one up. It sounds really, really
I'm
interesting.
I want to buy that Master Race. Mm-hmm. I haven't read any of them yet. But
I read issue one, but not two yet.
I'm going to have to flip through to see the art. If it doesn't have good art, I'm not going to buy it.
Wow.
You're just like an art snob.
Yeah. You are kind of an art snob.
Yeah.
But isn't that...
I'll buy really bad, really poorly written books because the art's so good.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Is that why all your stuff is sold out?
Boxes, then.
A lot of Jim Lee. That's why Kukui Project is awesome.
So you're a big Image fan in the 90s, then.
You have no idea.
But
scrambled Image.
So you place story over art. Or no, you place art over story.
Yeah, man.
Okay, so can I ask you this?
Like everybody that should.
Can I ask you this?
You got all those kind of back issues of Grifter.
That's right. Kind of a controversial question. What if somebody spins a web through your comic and goes, ooh, that's great art, but I don't give a crap about the story?
I'm okay with that.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to have to read
Would you be offended if somebody said that your story was good but your art sucked?
People have said that before, and I'm like, wow. That's amazing.
Have they really?
Did they punch you in the gut after?
Does it really matter? Because if they love one aspect of it but not the other, it means that he's still skillful at least in one skill set.
And he also sold the book.
Right. Like, if they got a book and they said the whole thing sucks all the way through, that would be a big blow. But if they said it was well written but the art sucked, at least they like something about it.
So
one way or another, it still works.
I encourage a lot of people to write me. And that's trburn02@yahoo.com.
Do you have a letter section in Kikuyu?
Yahoo.com?
Not yet.
You should.
Well, was the Netscape down?
I'll write a letter.
I never
looked. My AOL was really unavailable.
You couldn't get any more free hours.
I never looked at it that way, because that's weird. Like, I would say that it would be the whole encompassing of the comic. Wouldn't it all
So that time I threw your issue in your face, that...
That's going in the back of the book.
No, but you are right about something. There is something.
Actually, you gave me a nice compliment on Facebook.
No, I know.
It was a big mistake.
I take it all back.
It was a big mistake.
He was drinking that.
I guess you're right, because there is something valid about that, because I like Japanese anime, but I don't. There's very. I
like anime.
I have a very.
Doesn't necessarily need to be Japanese.
I dated a girl named Anime.
Did you?
No.
Her name wasn't Kim?
No, I've only ever dated Kim.
Kim Anime?
No.
Kim Anime.
This one's Japanese, so kind of.
Wow. But dude, you're right. When I flip through a comic, when I flip through a comic or I watch an anime, I do pay attention to the art. So maybe you are right.
I think that...
It's the first thing you're naturally drawn to is the art.
And I think that if you really are interested in the writing... then you could probably spend your time better reading an actual prose novel.
Wow, holy crap!
Yeah.
You're throwing like a ton of comic book writers under the bus.
Reading a book without pictures?
I mean,
what kind of comics do you read?
I'm not trying to say, like...
Pictureless comics?
A really good example is Joe Harris's X-Files. I really like the writing, but the artwork is chunky, and there's terrible backgrounds, and there's bad likenesses. And so when I look at it, I'm like, this guy, they're just trying to sell the brand.
Wow.
And but the writing is so good, I'll still read it. But with the X-Files, I don't know the names of anybody that's ever drawn that book, because it's so forgettable. And then on top of it, the publisher will not let them have an entire story arc. There's always a filler issue. So these guys do serviceable art really fast. They're paid well, but they can't complete a story arc.
Like, are we gonna touch on the TV show?
Like, what's the deal with that? So.
Are we going to touch on the X-Files TV show?
Well, you know, that's the thing, is that we don't have much time left, but, I mean, we have some time left, but we're gonna talk about that. There's a lot of stuff going on that we're going to talk about. Hey, you're in my shot, pal.
Oh, excuse me, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you're in my shot,
man. I was giving this to you to be
out of
your
shot. I certainly appreciate it. Anyway, we're going to talk about X-Files, because it was the last episode this week.
Spoilers, I didn't see it.
Neither did any of us, so at least I didn't. I didn't get the chance
to see it. I watched all of them.
But before we get into that, we've got about 40 minutes, about 38 minutes left. Well, 40. I can add on 2 minutes. That's fine.
So gracious.
Thank you, like that. No problem at all. First off, want to let everybody know that big news coming out of the nerd culture this week. But I do want to promote something. Big Trouble in Little China, happening on March 17th, 2016. The Nerd Watch and That's Maui Comics and Collectibles.
A Thursday night.
Yep.
7:30 p.m.
Nerd Watch and Maui Comics and Collectibles is going to be a there's going to be a one-time event, big screen screening of Big Trouble in Little China. All tickets must be purchased by March 9th. You can purchase your tickets online or right here at My Comics and Collectibles at 333 Dairy Road. Okay,
you can pay by credit card or cash.
Correct.
Or in store.
And without your guys' assistance, we cannot go forward with this. So we need your help. You can visit online. You can visit our event page on our Facebook page at facebook.com/nerdwatch. Or you can just come to Maui Comics and Collectibles and pick up your tickets. All your tickets need to be in by March 9th, and we can do more of these if it happens to be that way.
We've got to sell 95 total. We've sold about 30, perfect. We're about a third of the way there, fantastic. And we just want to keep on pushing.
Fantastic. We want
to
get there.
One of the things that I've been trying to drill into people's heads is that the faster we sell the tickets, the more we can spend our time on other fun things like giveaways and prize
yes,
packs.
Absolutely.
That kind of thing.
Absolutely so, right.
But the tickets have to happen first.
Yes. So it has to happen first, and we need your help. We want the community to come out and support the Nerd Watch, support Maui Comics and Collectibles. Happening March 17th, it's the Big Trouble in Little China screening at Maui Mall Megaplex, and it's hosted by Maui Comics and Collectibles and the Nerd Watch. For more information, please visit facebook.com/TheNerdWatch or 333 Dairy Road, Kahului. It's Maui Comics and Collectibles.
How can you mispronounce that? Those are regular words.
You know, like Maui.
Also want to talk about our Patreon.com page. It is, you go to Patreon.com, that's Patreon.com. Search the Nerd Watch, and we would love your support in our tip jar. We want to upgrade our equipment. We want to be able to, pay for, upgrading the equipment, making us look good on camera, makeup for Todd, stuff like that.
He's the one that needs it.
Yeah, he does.
I'm not saying he's ugly. I'm just saying we need to enhance his
enhancement.
Sex appeal.
Absolute enhancement.
I need,
by a lot.
I need chest hair plugs.
See, that's the wit I was talking about right there. You see that?
The wit?
Yeah, the
DeWitt,
right there. 333.
Did you see that? The DeWitt, it's right here.
DeWitt.
Wow. Patreon.com. Just search the Nerd Watch. And if you can help, any little will help. We'd love, we just love an opportunity to make this podcast so much better. If you
do accept
enjoy
coins.
It. Yes.
We wow. Accept, that helps.
We accept anything. There was no way that I could actually ask for pizza. We would have. But there is no way we can ask for any type of food, which is really unfortunate. So it has to be monetary. So just throw it in our tip jar. What the heck, right?
What the hell?
Yeah, what the heck? Watch your mouth.
I thought I could slip that one under the radar. I thought I could. But I shouldn't have.
Well, listen, here's the thing. Two things. Number one, since we were talking about Deadpool just a couple seconds ago, want to let everybody know that if you don't know by now, Deadpool is making a killing at the box office. Deadpool was once again the number one movie at the box office this
killing
weekend.
Killing them all.
He is killing them all. I mean, he beat Jesus, he beat the devil, and
To be fair, those two films didn't have nearly the marketing push Deadpool had.
His success... well, if we're honest...
No, I mean, it's a superhero movie, which is driving the marketplace, but mm-hmm. I can't even think of what the marketing looked like for Risen and The Witch.
The Witch?
They've had a fair amount of marketing, sure, but not on the same level.
Well, when
all.
The Witch is endorsed by the Satanic Church...
That's the Witch, the devil? Not in the press. It's talked about online, but you don't see Satanic Church endorses The Witch. Come see it at your local cinema. You're not going to see it on the poster.
Well, what is enticing you to go watch it then?
Just
witches.
The early reviews of it.
I'm in it for the witches.
The early reviews of it and that filmmaker in particular, the beginning, a lot of steam. That's wow. What's got me interested in that movie. Wow. I still don't have much of an idea what it's about, which I'm actually favoring because in this day and age, so many movies come out where you know every aspect of that movie that by the time it comes out, you know so much about it that there's really no surprises anymore. And I'm not even talking trailers. It's just there's just so much online to see and right. Read that by the time it comes out, you already know everything there is to know about it.
Right, right, right.
So it's nice to see a movie that comes out under the radar and you don't really know much about it. So when a movie like that happens, I try not to dig into it too much. So it's actually a surprise when you go see it at the theater.
Same with me. Yeah. I think you're right. But, I mean, it's...
That's how I've been feeling with that 10 Cloverfield Lane. I'm trying not to get too into that because I'd like that movie to be a surprise. Because it came out as a surprise. Mm-hmm. So right. That one and The Witch, I've been kind of treating the same way. I don't want to know too much about it.
Yeah, I guess Deadpool's success will keep rolling, at least for at least a couple weeks.
It'll definitely peter out before March 26th.
Yeah, it will. It definitely will.
Something will happen.
I'm sure if it hasn't started falling down from the number one spot, it will very quickly...
Well,
March 26th rolls
that's a great segue because something is happening. February 29th, advance tickets go on sale for Batman v Superman.
You don't say.
That's correct, sir.
What?
What you just said now is spellbinding.
Oh, thank you.
It's like we...
touch tips?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hashtag docking.
February 29th is Batman v Superman.
None of these shows will
No
air.
Matter what it looks like on camera right now, if you're watching us on the television, we're all excited about it, not just Hennessy.
So, I'm super excited about it. I'm turning red because of it.
Nice. So it's very exciting to see that the actual tickets are going on sale February 29th. Hopefully, we'll get more information about locally on Maui and whatnot and other islands. We'll get more information to you guys as soon as we can about when and where you'll be able to see Batman v Superman. So that'll be a lot of fun, I think, personally. And I mentioned this in Another Life on Earth, our Earth 2 podcast.
Oh, yeah.
There is...
Where we have superpowers.
Yeah! Earth 2
I
podcast.
Love Earth 2.
Yeah. So I guess it'd be Fox.
I was really disappointed in Earth 2 format being Killer Frost. I didn't think you had it in you.
But that was sexy as hell.
That's great.
Well, Greg was actually the Shark Man.
That's good. Man, King Shark. Come on, man.
Excuse me.
Anyway.
King Shark Man.
That's right.
King Shark Man, the kids are watching nowadays.
They're all watching it nowadays. But what's cool is that for some reason I lost my point. Anyway,
that's
no,
cool.
No, that's not cool at all.
That's not what was cool.
Batman v Superman. Like we said on Earth 2, we said Earth 2 podcast that yes. We talked about the Blu-ray for Batman v Superman. The Batman v Superman Blu-ray is already being promoted, and it's being promoted for a very special reason. It's going to be a what they're calling a quote-unquote R-rated cut of the film. So we're getting PG-13 in the theaters, but we're getting R-rated on Blu-ray and DVD, or quote-unquote.
Some folks have said that might be a reaction to Deadpool being such a success in R-rated, so Warner Brothers is trying to drive a little bit more attention to it. But, I mean, if they really wanted to drive that attention, they would just release it as an R.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It'd be a longer film, it'd be edgier, like most people, like they think most people would want. I think if they really were banking on the film being R-rated as a driving force, then they would have
released
it.
The tone's dark enough without having to go into art.
I don't know how much dark you can get, especially with a movie with Superman.
I still feel like it's all about the violence. I'm pretty
Batman's sure. violence.
Well, I mean, from the...
It's vigilante violence.
Yeah, just judging from the last trailer, and they've talked about it before, where he's flat-out branding people with his batarangs and stuff like that, and that fight sequence that they did show in the last trailer, it probably gets a little bit more brutal than we saw in the trailer.
So do we see Superman in this movie? Do we see him trying to stifle Batman's ability to be such a psychological
Have you
terror?
Not seen the clip of what their conversation is when the Batmobile hits Superman?
Oh, I know.
Kill the Bat.
He's just like, the Bat is dead. Bury it.
Wow.
And then he flies.
Yeah,
and then Batman's like, you know,
wow.
Do you bleed?
Out of earshot.
Yeah, make sure. Hold on. He says, "Do you bleed?"
Then
Superman
and then
flies away.
And then he goes, "You will," under his breath.
No, he does not,
yes, he does.
Sir.
He's Superman, so scared of Superman.
Superman, why
will.
Is Superman flying?
You so will.
I can see him. Superman, do you bleed?
Flies. He knows Superman's got hearing.
He knows he can hear it.
No,
he says it really quiet under his breath.
You will.
Totally
yeah, but
will.
He doesn't
will.
Know it at the time that he says it. He didn't do this. Like, you will. You didn't do that.
He didn't know at the time.
Well, I mean,
pretty much. We
both, Greg and I at least, both know that Superman draws a lot of his powers from our sun.
It's true.
Right?
You think I don't know that? you and Greg
what?
Know that?
I don't care if you know that.
You're a bad fan. You know nothing.
Yeah.
Spoilers, mother!
You spoiled the Richard Donner Superman for
me.
No.
Anyways, all I can comprehend from that entire thing of him flying away is so that way he can become more powerful. To kick the bat's butt.
Really? You think so?
He flies away at night where there's no sun around.
He goes to the daylight side of the earth.
Well,
thank you.
If he leaves, he's
like, all right, you wait right
more
here.
More powerful than a locomotive.
You wait right here, Batman. I'm going
to
go to China where the sun's still out.
Tall
and recharge
buildings.
Real quick.
At a single
Couldn't
bound.
He just leave the planet?
You know, right? You go straight up and leave the planet.
Yeah.
Out on the atmosphere.
Wherever the sun's at, right? But, you know.
I'm glad that you guys finally are understanding where I'm coming from.
All right. Well, I want to see what it looks like. We're gonna have a very interesting dichotomy at the theater. We're gonna have Supes fans and Bat fans, and scary.
The only conflict I really am interested in is not actually the physical conflict. Actually, it's the philosophical conflict.
Absolutely,
that's the whole point. That's the whole point.
That doesn't mean anything. Psychologically, they're not going to change as people.
That's what makes Justice League so great, is it's Batman's philosophy versus Superman's
philosophy. But they don't change. The conflict is always going to be philosophically where they meet in the middle.
Yeah.
That's what that whole movie should be about. Like, the physical conflict, it's going to be there, but where they meet in the middle is
what's going to be interesting about their compromise to form the Justice League. And speaking of that, did anybody see the selfie that Jason Momoa posted with Zack Snyder with the suits?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. With the new
There is a lot to see in there.
The new Flash suit looks amazing.
There's new Aquaman armor, the Flash suit. There's concept art for Mira in there.
Oh, really?
There's a boot that nobody knows who that belongs to. The black suit is being theorized as being Nightwing's suit.
It looks kind of like a Nightwing-ish.
It looks very Nightwing-like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm very... Awesome. I'm just
proud that there's a Hawaiian that's going to be a superhero. Finally.
Jason Momoa is so...
Here we go with the diversity talk. Ugh.
Not even diversity. The guy who's the master of the ocean can't be the blonde-haired, blue-eyed white guy all the time.
Thank you. Thank
you, really?
Clive.
Yes.
I agree. Hawaiians, superheroes.
Have you read his book?
No. Actually, I have read some of it.
Some of it.
Yes.
Well, speaking of the Justice League, I'm glad you brought that up, because the Justice League officially starts filming as of April 11th.
By the way, and I was thinking about this, and it only hit me a little while later, there's going to be footage for that at Comic-Con.
They're going to have to be.
Because they're shooting in April, so it's April, May, June, July. They're going to be shooting for three or four months. There's going to be footage to be shown at Comic-Con.
Yeah,
so we're going to see a teaser of Justice League this year.
That's insane.
That's exciting.
I think we should all take a deep breath.
We don't get the movie until November following year, but there's going to be Wonder Woman. There's probably going to be a much more substantial Wonder Woman trailer, for sure.
Right.
Suicide Squad probably get a big presence too, because that movie's still going to be about a month off by the time Comic-Con hits.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to be shooting for 3 or 4 months before Comic-Con. They're going to have footage to show, and you know they're going to show something. Mm-hmm. If at the very least a group shot of all of them together.
Yeah. I think
I'm sorry for anybody that's a Marvel fan. To me, that's exciting as hell to finally see the DC
Justice
characters
League
all together.
Was the ultimate team. Everything came after that.
I love the Marvel movies. I think Avengers is great.
Right.
Justice League to me will always outshine over that.
I'm a
DC guy, but
because of those iconic characters, that's why I'm a DC guy too. Yeah.
Avengers came out as a reaction to Justice League.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
They just beat them to the Cineplex. That's all.
Yeah. Sorry.
So
for the Avengers.
Justice League is so much better. I think it's really cool that now all of a sudden we're going to... I mean, I was so worried about Batman v Superman. Now, the closer it gets, the less worried I am. And I don't know why that is, but I'm super stoked to see the movie. And I'm very excited to see the new
characters.
That's
fair, yeah. I'm there with you. I know when they first announced it, I was pissed.
Because
I was like, this is not the sequel to Superman. And then they completely changed it into something else.
It changed shape a lot, because when they announced it at the first Comic-Con, they said it was the sequel to Man of Steel.
Exactly.
Like Batman would
and
be
I
it.
Was like, why is Bat
yeah,
here?
Yeah, and then the more the movie went along, it became more Batman.
And
then
it just kept adding more and more people in there.
To be fair, that's kind of okay, though.
Because
the film is still a reaction to Man of Steel, Superman's still the central character of what's happening.
Right.
So it's not like he's completely
well,
clearly
out of the story. Why they would actually integrate Doomsday into it, of course he's going to be
circled.
I still wish they would save Doomsday.
Doomsday's
going to
be
later.
In it? Oh, man.
I still wish they would save Doomsday
Spoilers.
For later.
I agree. I think the death of Superman should have been too soon.
Yeah. I'm. And what's funny is that I made a joke about it, about Jason Momoa. But I will say this. I am very
Being
excited.
A native?
Be right, exactly.
Wow. What's wrong with you?
One of those island natives. I really am I'm really excited to see Aquaman, because I've always been a fan of Aquaman. I always liked Aquaman.
And his costume is very comic book.
The entire Justice League is in that movie.
You got the golden scales, you got the green pants.
It looks great.
Yeah, it looks really good. So I want to see how well he pulls it off. I want to see Aquaman.
Whoa.
He pulls it off.
Okay.
What exactly do you want to see Jason Momoa pull off?
I don't know what's going on now.
His shirt.
Whoa, and I'm on board, is what I'm saying.
You're on board? Nice.
There's no judgments here. If you want to see Jason Momoa pull something off, I'm there with you, bro.
Well, thank you, brother.
Clearly he's watched Game of Thrones.
You guys
a Polynesian Adonis, sir.
You didn't get enough of that in, like...
Paul Adonis.
In Game of Thrones? Paul Adonis.
That's Paula Dean's cousin.
You know what's amazing?
Bacon.
The less racist.
That's
butter.
That's the title of the... That's the title of the podcast.
What's amazing to me is
No, it's not. Shut up. Stop talking.
Shut up, Todd. That's a new podcast
Todd.
Title.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't even mean...
Stop stealing my podcast title, Todd. That's the title of the podcast, Todd.
Stop stealing my...
As long as you guys use my name in the title, I'm pulling it.
Let's not mention Todd in the title of the podcast, Todd. That's the title of the Toddcast.
That's the title!
No. Why did you have to say that, dude?
It's the Toddcast!
Because I know he's going to change his mind before the end.
Yeah, but he just gave him a new one.
You gave me a new one to think about
so
now.
So just be the last guy.
You know, all I have to do is be quiet for like the next 25 minutes.
And somebody else will say something for you now.
Isn't that
right.
What I did just a few minutes ago?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
See, what the thing is it's such a great play on words. Yeah. The Toddcast
wait,
podcast.
Wait. We're re-recording this. So should this be the re-Toddcast?
A little more fitting.
That's awesome.
That is the name
that
of the podcast.
That is the name of the podcast right
there.
Hello. Retod Podcast. Retod. Oh my gosh, that's great.
This podcast has been retodded.
We're going to get so much mail because of this.
All right. That's your tagline.
People named Todd.
You've just been retodded. That's awesome.
I wasn't going to take it that far, but you go, G.
That's right, sir.
You go, G.
You got to put your stamp on that, Mr. Kukui Project. ladies and gentlemen.
Shameless plug.
Boys and girls. I need a time check in just a few minutes, but...
format has control.
Fantastic. Time check really quick. Want to talk about... we'll talk about what's coming out in the movie theater this week in just a few minutes, but...
20 minutes.
Thank you, sir. I do want to talk about a couple of very cool television programs that essentially have finished up.
Ice Road Truckers.
That's a great show.
I don't know. You said cool shows.
WWE.
Swamp
that
People.
Has something to do with ice.
Swamp People. That's another good show. Any other reality aliens. Shows? Oh, yeah. Ancient Aliens.
I am addicted to Ancient Aliens.
Awesome.
It's like real life comic books.
I do not.
We're all aliens.
I do not believe in aliens. I think it's absolutely hogwash, but I love that show.
It's a awesome, perfect segue to the X-Files.
You're stupid.
Hashtag. Look, I forgive you because we all know it's just the aliens talking.
Hey, man, he's not stupid. He's retarded.
I don't think that was an appropriate comment.
Mind is now blown.
Wow, mind blown. Wow, I was going to change the podcast.
I'm pretty sure there was a mic
stupid,
drop after that one.
No, I brought it back.
You did bring it back. So
the retodcast.
The retodcast.
It's that's
yeah, that flows.
That's too good. Anyway, Ancient Aliens leads perfectly right into the X-Files. Mm-hmm. The finale for the X-Files was on Monday.
Not a strong finale.
I heard it was a very big upset.
I
read about it a
little
bit.
I think they were trying too hard to reach into expanding it back into a regular series. Yeah. And they were like leaving all these... I'm going to spoil the crap out of the last scene.
I don't care.
A giant UFO is hovering above them and shines a light on Mulder and Scully. That's way too direct for the X-Files to me. It's not.
Well, here's the thing.
We're good now.
I read this article. Chris Carter justified it. Chris Carter justified it by stating that they wanted to leave it in a place that felt natural for the series. Because the series never left a season feeling like it was complete. And to leave threads to carry over.
Yeah, there's definitely a thread.
The problem is, though, like, they only did 6 episodes. They can't guarantee anybody to be in the next season right away. And there's no promise of a film or another series.
But the thing is, the first 3 episodes of this season were so coherent and so good. And they were just very solid episodes.
It was almost like they were going to do a movie.
But then the 4, 5, and 6 were just like... really
kitchen sink
weak.
They
yeah.
just threw anything
they
out.
They threw everything in there.
They said, according
that's
to...
That's just from me reading about it. I haven't watched a single episode.
It really wasn't coherent, and that's basically... I don't usually agree with the critics when they say stuff like that, but it's true. They really did just put a mishmash of X-Files crap
right.
and hope that it made sense, but it really didn't.
I read
I think they just wanted to plant seeds to promise more episodes.
But if you want to watch it, watch the first 3 episodes. They're amazing.
Well, here's the thing, though. The critique has been is that the 3 episodes that have been directed by the creator are the worst episodes in the season.
Really?
They say that Chris Carter is suffering from George Lucas-itis. He needs to step away and let other people start.
And give the franchise to JJ.
Right, they need to step, people need to step away.
I'm like, rescue X-Files.
That's good. Thank you, sir.
JJ Abrams can own another franchise.
From what I understand,
Bad Robot.
Chris Carter is too close to the project now, and he needs to
But is it him holding back from letting the show develop organically?
Yes.
Or is it him trying to push it into a more modern context? Because I could see it going either way.
I know you guys didn't watch it, but I have a question about... I didn't watch all the original TV shows. But the Smoking Man was a really quiet, in the back kind of guy. He wasn't like a direct talker, right? He didn't control
He was, like, from
season... He spoke only a handful of times through the whole show, right?
No. From, like, season three or four, he was kind of a major dude.
Right. The thing about the cigarette...
in the movie, I remember, right?
The thing about the cigarette smoking man was that... Whenever he spoke, it was relevant.
Right, he was the silent Bob of
X-Files. Well, basically,
thank you.
He does a lot of exposition in the episode six, the final episode, and what he's laying out, the plan is so major, and there's been no hints at this crazy international conspiracy at the beginning of the season at all. It just all comes down in episode six. Yeah. You're like, why is everyone getting sick? Everybody's got alien DNA, and it's like a giant panic thing, and it's like, what the hell? Where did that come from?
Listen to the end of the X-Files movie soundtrack from 1997.
Is there a secret track that explains
this?
There's a secret track that explains the entire conspiracy.
Sure.
That sounds terrible.
Do they mention the Spartan virus?
Because that's the virus they're fighting now.
It's not called that, but it's a virus that is supposed to ritual.
So then my question is that this was just a teaser for a possible new run. Do we think that they could develop another six episodes?
If they can make an all-female Ghostbusters, they can make another six X-Files.
Wow.
That's your yardstick?
if they can make a live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles...
I don't consider that a live-action Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that's a CG.
They're very animated still.
But the live-action Deadpool movie... If a Deadpool movie will make $500 million worldwide,
they proved they can do the X-Files, but like whoever wrote the first three, they were like on it. Don't let whoever did the last three.
I've always sort of felt like X-Files had this phenomenological quality like Dune. You know, like a lot of people latched on
to it. Like Dune? D-U-N-E?
Yeah.
That is one of the most nonsensical sci-fi movies I have ever
seen. But it had a huge cult following.
I'm not talking about the movie. I'm talking about the book that came out in 1968.
Okay, I've never read the book. Never read the book.
So in 1968, Dune came out, and then it was kind of a phenomenon.
That's when it made its debut?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, sorry, it arrived.
Oh, it did arrive.
It arrived in 1968. Okay. Yeah, and it was huge, and then, you know, people... It's a big book.
Yes.
They didn't want to publish it because it was so long. And I think I think X-Files suffers from that. It's that X-Files is a little bit, it's got a longer format. And I think we could all use a longer format.
A much longer format.
And I think
there's the name of the podcast.
Stolen, Todd.
Well done, sir.
A longer format. Retotted.
You brought it back. Yeah. But anyway, to your point, sir. I'm sorry.
A longer format.
My point is that I think that people would really get into that kind of material in a longer format. And you can't just do it in...
Are you saying they should only do movies now?
No, I'm saying that they should expand it into like more television. Like more Amazon, more Netflix, whatever.
Yeah, as a Netflix series, it probably would have done better.
Yeah. I think Fox tried to do like what Netflix is doing.
Yeah, no, you know what? I never thought of it that way, but you might be right about that. Yeah.
And I think that's why it was sort of a mini series event. And I think that if they had just taken it to Netflix or whatever, they would have had a little bit more success with the
format. They need to just do a whole season of Monster of the Week.
What it sounds like to me is that you want the X-Files to be a pictureless comic book.
I'm not sure if that's what he's saying.
Oh, is that not what he's saying?
No. I think you want the X-Files
to be as boring as it really is.
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
It's big. It's just.
But that's the thing is, I don't like the bigness. I don't like the universe of the X-Files. The Monster of the Week is like the core of it to me. That's the most enjoyable X-Files.
I agree. Yeah. Totally. I think
And so the big story arcs, the overall Smoking Man crap is like those were not my favorite episodes.
Screw the mythology.
I want to believe crap. You know,
if you're into the television show like I was, I've seen every episode twice.
Me
I'm
too.
Not deep into the X-Files like
but
that.
If,
but I found it enjoyable.
If you were, there's this point where Mulder has an epiphany where he says, hey, what if the reason that we are keep running into all these monsters
yes, that's right.
is because of this alien DNA experiment that's been happening over the course of human civilization.
Right, that's right. He did do that. That's
and
right.
And he's like, you know, this all goes back to the conspiracy that we're chasing. And then
they're failed experiments.
And then in this new, as I understand it so far, in this new season is that he's like there is no conspiracy, alien conspiracy. It's that men and humans have been messing with the genome for a long time in civilization.
And they tied it back to the Roswell conspiracy that they initially. We're talking about
well, I mean,
in this final episode.
It goes back with the Ancient Aliens. I mean, like, Ancient Aliens is kind
of
based on a book that came out in the
70s. Chariot of the Gods.
Chariot of the Gods. And so Chris Kardec is, that's his jam.
Yeah.
That's what he talks
about. And it's great source material as far as sci-fi.
You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like someone needs to write an X-Files script.
I would like to, but I really think that Joe Harris is more qualified for it than I am. I think that they should have brought him as a consultant and... Yeah, I think it's called X-Files season 10 in the comic book.
Yes, it is.
And so I think that if they had let him come in and be like, hey, so this is what I did.
And I really like that in the comics, just as an aside, when they do extra seasons or side seasons in the comics.
Yeah.
Because that's how basically they do screenplays, is they do the concept of framing the scenes.
Yeah.
And they put the words of the dialogue and the narration. Yeah. That's a comic book.
All right.
And
so let's ask this then. So does this last six compel us to watch another six?
Well, yeah,
I would watch another six. Yeah,
okay.
Because there are some of the overarching stuff that was interesting to me, like the big story, the big picture stuff. But mostly, my hope is that they'll do more Monster of the Week stuff because they have shown that they have not lost the flavor for it. It's not tired and old. Like the ones that they did on this last season were excellent. They were great.
I think more importantly, expand on it.
Yeah.
Like, why limit yourself to six? I think for this particular run, they limited it to six to see if the interest was strong enough.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I thought.
They limited it down to six because just in case it doesn't take off, you don't invest too heavily in
Correct.
It. So hopefully the ratings did well. I mean, again,
I feel like the initial response
is
better than this final response,
but,
though.
You know, this is coming, like, for someone that's never watched episodes of X-Files, just following it, just as somebody interested in how it plays out. I think it'd be probably more beneficial to expand, and hopefully the ratings were there, but I think expanding from 6 to maybe 10, that way you have your weaker episodes, but you can still get it back on track as you go.
Well, no, makes sense. I always thought that X-Files would be a perfect 13-episode season.
And I don't think any TV show should ever have a film spin-off. I don't think any TV show should do
Star Trek.
Okay.
Well, that's a little bit different, because in Star Trek, they expanded into an epic...
It was after the show was done.
And in both cases, the show was pretty much done by the time they did the movies. But for X-Files, when they try to do that from the show, then the movie, then back to the show, and then they tried another movie, it's like, I think it's such a detraction from the mythology. Like, and I base it on this. It's like, let's say Walking Dead did a spinoff movie out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. You can't really pay off that story. Especially if you're carrying
off
from the
TV show. You have to change the
pace.
You got to hit all the plot points.
Not just change the pace.
That's where Daryl dies.
But you have to come up with a story that can be paid off within 2 hours. And there is no way to pay a story off like that in 2 hours if you're going back to the show later.
Right.
So I think anything that's episodic should stay in the format that it's in. Not try to branch. You know, if you can go from a regular TV show to a miniseries, that's one thing. But I think when you try to do a movie next, I think that's where X-Files tripped up.
Well, speaking of that, since you brought it up, I think it was you, Todd. Walking Dead had another episode.
I don't want to hear a damn thing about it.
Okay,
you didn't watch it.
Okay,
I know about the Rick and Michonne thing, which is a spoiler in itself.
Well, that's not even like the big thing, anyways. I wasn't.
It is if you read the book.
When it
I never have this in the book.
When it happened in the show, wasn't like, oh my god, yeah. I mean, some people were like that, but it's like whatever.
What that show needed was some salt and pepper, and we got it.
That's right.
Jump. Ebony and Ivory.
Isn't that what Venkman warned about in Ghostbusters?
Cats and dogs.
Blacks and whites living together.
He did not say that.
Is that the way you heard it?
Cats and dogs.
That's the way G-Money heard it. Now we know how things...
He did not say that.
Oh, okay, I just was wondering.
We know that G-Money considers blacks and whites to be like cats and dogs. They just don't mix. Right, G? Is that...
Man, you racist,
man. That's
not what
I said. That's not what I said.
Maybe I heard the
Ghostbusters, that Ghostbusters rant incorrectly. I may be wrong about that.
Definitely incorrect.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
So.
Yeah, sir.
Walking Dead.
Yes. let's get
it's
back
a show. To
that.
That's what we were talking about.
How was the episode, guys? Don't say too much non-spoiler.
That's all right.
The episode before was much stronger.
Much stronger?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would agree, yes.
It was thicker at the base.
Seriously.
Wow.
Wow, that was right. All right, so...
I'm just saying it had a strong foundation, is all.
I heard for the fans there was an upset, though. The character of Jesus shows up and they completely change his name.
Yes.
No, well, the explanation is because the ruling class of Alexandria's names were Monroe, and they didn't want to have confusion over them both being Monroes, you know?
Oh. Right. That does make sense.
You know?
So, but we do like the direction that Walking Dead's going, right?
Course corrected to what the book was doing.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's fine.
And we're all nice and scared for Negan to show up. We're all anticipating
I think that's the biggest anticipation.
I really want Negan,
right,
not necessarily be what he was in the book, but to be as impactful of a character as he was in the book, because Governor didn't do that for me.
No,
in the
not
show.
At all.
He didn't actually portray himself in any way as the book, but he wasn't nearly as menacing as the Governor was in the book at all.
Right, and I agree with you on that. I completely
agree
with you.
He's just too suave, too charming, too
nothing
aloof
imposing.
In his motives.
Yeah. Are you caught up, Hennessy?
With the Dead at the moment, no, sir. I'm not. I'm a few episodes behind.
Wow. I've only read the first issue of Walking Dead.
What?
And I've only seen the first season of the television show.
Really? I read the first 12 issues.
Are
and
you
that
messing?
Was enough to tell
Are you
me
serious?
That.
Serious.
Wow.
What's odd about that, though, for him? Mm-hmm. Is that the first issue of Walking Dead is flat out the start of 28 Days Later.
Yes.
When that book started, everybody judged it that all Robert Kirkman really did was just take 28 Days Later and turn it into
that's
a book.
That's right.
Guy wakes up and everything went to hell already. He has to figure out what happened.
But I thought that book came out before 28 Days Later.
Yeah, I think it came out after.
It was in 04 that came out. When was 28 Days
I
Later?
I can't remember. Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think the book came out afterwards.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure. I'm going to double check this
double check. I'm pretty
no,
sure
No, yeah, because I was in college when 28 Days Later came out. And 04 is when I graduated, right. So the book did come out after. Yeah.
Well, listen.
I'm pretty sure
2002,
I'm right.
28 days later.
We're running short of time here. I got to get a time check. But here's the thing, television audience and podcast listeners. Another thing I want to get to really quick, The Flash. A big reveal tonight on The Flash for those that watch. We love The Flash here at Maui Comics and Collectibles on the Nerd Watch.
Yeah, it's currently 4
it's Barry
minutes
Allen.
And 30 seconds.
Okay.
It's Barry Allen as the Flash.
Yes.
Is that the reveal?
That's correct,
sweet.
Sir.
I love how every episode he tells somebody else he's the Flash.
Yeah, I know, right?
He's like, oh, should we tell her? Yeah, why not?
I might upset some people at this table that love that show, but every time I watch The Flash, I'm just reminded about the Spider-Man movies that Sam Raimi did. It's a whole lot of crying and a whole lot of him telling everybody who he is. So many people know who the Flash is. I'm like, why even have an identity after a while?
That's true.
And almost every episode, he's crying about something.
Wow.
This episode, he was crying about
he's
how come his stepbrother Wally West doesn't like him.
Like,
how come Wally doesn't like me?
Yeah,
I stole his dad and his sister.
Like, I'm still trying to catch up through season one. I just watched halfway through the first season.
I'm
like, it's just a soap opera with occasional lightning speed running in it.
Wow.
That's what I take from it.
Well, look, graphics are impressive for a TV show.
Let's be honest, though. I mean, that's
just
impressive what Arrow was in the first place. You know what I mean?
I wasn't as drawn into Arrow. Flash is enthralling.
No, I understand, because it's actually an actual superhero as opposed to somebody.
I had a problem with Arrow too, though.
I'm just saying that Arrow is essentially a soap opera.
Well, it's more of a soap opera than Flash is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not as much.
You gotta
crying,
be into
definitely.
The drama.
Oliver Queen's not crying in every episode, but
he's crying on the inside.
No, but to be fair, Arrow had the same problem with because he's killing way too many people too many times in the show. I didn't like the... I still don't like the backwards and forwards storyline, which to me just feels like they borrowed that concept from Lost.
Yeah, it's kind of irritating.
I like... The background story's fine. I just don't like that it's part of every single episode.
I think a lot of people are getting used to non-linear storytelling, so that's why they're... It's just appearing more places.
Thanks
it's
a lot, Lost.
But when you're
getting... thanks a lot, Memento.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say Memento. I would definitely
that was an early one.
I would blame it on Lost.
But a lot of that has Lost to do with the fact that Memento, they want to be able to give you a backstory without having to make you bored like you did.
And Pulp Fiction
like you were, for instance, in the movie Deadpool. You were bored during that second segment.
I didn't say bored.
Yeah, whatever.
I just said
it. Let's be real about things. You were bored.
I wasn't bored.
Yeah.
Oh, we're good. We've got 2 minutes left.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about, Lost, is that the background story is to give you a piece of the background of what he's experiencing in that current episode.
Yeah.
That's what I'm actually talking about. I'm not talking about the backwards and forwards thing as far as Memento. It just seems like the backstory reveals something that helps him for what you're learning about in that current episode.
It's supporting evidence, especially if you are
somebody... But the trouble with that...
But if you're somebody who's first going into this series and not understanding the comic and not reading all that stuff, it's actually really helpful. See, you have a biased opinion because of the fact that you've probably read the Green Arrow.
No, the backstory.
No, that's not the problem I have.
Oh, well.
The problem is that because they've used that as the conceit of the show, they now put themselves in the... And they did this in the second season where he flat out leaves the island and he goes on a whole other adventure off the island.
Right.
Only to eventually return back to the island as he has to be discovered. It just seems like at a certain point you should just wrap up the island storyline and not expand the island story too much.
Right.
Because the original origin story, he's just on that island. That's it.
Well, I saw the pilot. The pilot.
But because they want to keep
filler.
That,
you got to understand that. I mean,
they got to move past it.
But
from
it's
a writer's
filler.
Standpoint,
it's
they
great,
got to move past
it's great it. Filler for people that are enthralled in the soap opera side of it,
sure.
Because it segues into something different and also gives you a backstory behind everything.
Right.
It's not just, oh, this is who the Arrow is. It's how he...
Have you watched this show?
Yes, I have.
All the way through?
No,
currently.
I have not.
Well, because I think you might be able to wrap your head around what I'm saying a little bit better. That's all.
Possibly. But I'm giving you my, three season.
Right.
The first issue of Walking Dead came out in October 2003. And
that's good. And, don't worry, we got another 2 minutes. I added on to it because we went 57.
And
so 20 that's
and 28 Days Later came out June 2003. So he was already working on his second issue by the time he even saw the movie. And so the other answer is that they both rip off works of as old as John Wyndham's The Day of the Triffids, published in
1950. That's a great television show, too.
Deep cut.
Loud noises are coming in 3 seconds.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate it. You, sir, are without a doubt, you're amazing.
He's not retarded.
He's the master of the segue.
He's
the
plethora.
He's the master Googleist.
Of Google information.
Listen,
we're thinking on the same wavelength.
We now have 2 minutes left. So before we get out of here, next week we're going to talk about all kinds of fun stuff. We're getting to Supergirl. We're getting into more Flash. We're getting
into
more.
I can't wait to get into Supergirl.
Stop it. I'll let you guys know that coming out this week in the movie theaters, Gods of Egypt, the one I'm looking forward to.
Yes, the white gods of Egypt.
Let me.
It's a movie.
Why does everybody have a problem with Gods of Egypt being played by all these English actors, but nobody seems to ever have problems with other films that take place in Greece played by English actors?
That's true.
Because all Greeks were white Anglos.
You think of the movie Gladiator? They
Zeus,
look like Russell
Crowe. Yes, was a big old white guy.
That's
right?
Not true. But that's not true.
Wow.
Anyway, so yeah,
unbelievable.
He was a hairy Greek guy.
So for you, it's all about the color of the skin, not the culture.
That's like,
well,
that's
what
like
I
saying,
find interesting is that the white gods rule over all the Egyptians.
That's like, but that's also like saying that all Jewish people
like it should be. I mean, I'm not
are also
I don't have a problem
white.
With it. Gene.
Yeah.
Okay, horse.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. As it should.
I just wanted to say whore.
Triple Nine is coming out.
Triple
this
Nine
weekend.
Looks amazing.
It's amazing. Eddie the Eagle, the one starring Hugh Jackman. It's a movie about a skier.
And Taron Egerton from Kingsman.
Yeah. Crouching Tiger.
Kids on the Rise.
Hidden Dragon. The Sword of Destiny hits Netflix on the
26th.
Cool. Is it going out to all theaters?
Selected theaters. And it's going to be IMAX
only.
Who
the hell's going to bother going to a theater if you can just watch it at home?
Yeah, I think it's IMAX only, though, in theaters. That's why, too.
Thing would be amazing in IMAX.
Good movie.
And if you don't feel like going to the movies this weekend, today you can pick up Spotlight on Blu-ray today. Night Before came out, but that's digital only, and so did Creed came out digital only as well.
Which is coming out next week on hard copies.
Yeah, which will come out on hard copy soon. Also, games really quick. Far Cry Primal came out. If you're a big game fan, I can't wait to play it. I played some of it. It looks amazing. So anyway, listen, got to get out of here, guys. So the Nerd Watch is out of here. Akaku, we're out of here, too. So for Alika, the owner of Maui Comics and Collectibles, for Format, for the one and only Silent Sean, Big C, Hennessy, the man of two minds and two superheroes, Todd Bernardi, a.k.a. Retod, and the one and only talented Gannon in the house as well. I, of course, am G-Money. So until next week, peace out, much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. Don't forget to join us for the Big Trouble in Little China screening happening March 17th. And check us out at Patreon.com. All right, and our Facebook page at Facebook.com/NerdWatch. Until next time, we say to you...
Aloha!
# docking.